theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
The eagle has landed, Quinn.
And so have we.
And here we are. We are here and we are ready to talk to you all. Thank you all for joining us today. We have a very exciting conversation. How are you doing, honey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm looking forward to this one because this one is definitely more off the cuff. Like, literally, we were just having a weird conversation about something new we tried.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would be actually a really interesting conversation piece to share with our friends. And it's basically saying why we believe it's even more than important for us to try new things.
Yeah.
Like, it's vital.
Yeah.
You got to try new things, new experiences.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound kind of funny, but I've always heard about this wonderful sandwich, and it's crazy. It's, oddly enough, from a gas station.
Yep.
And it's all over, I guess it's mostly in the Northeast, and it's called Wawa's. It's W-A-W-A. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And it's in a gas station. And
well, it's not just in the Northeast. It's also all over Florida.
We have it in Florida. Like, I'm very grateful. And I've never had it before, but I've had friends who I say, like, what's your favorite food? And they know mine. It's like sushi and pizza.
Yeah.
And there's a million pizzas, but they don't say sandwiches. They say Wawa's. And I'm like, what's a Wawa? And they're like, it's the most amazing sandwich. Like, it's the craziest thing. If I go, I'm grabbing like three and then I keep them in my fridge and I just keep eating my sandwiches. I'm like, what? Like, I like Subway, you know, like I like Quiznos. That's good too.
No, not
this
the same.
Is a different thing. So we went on a little journey and we went to Wawa's, pulled up in that gas station, and it was pretty cool. It was like a touchscreen order thing. You don't even talk to anyone. It's not like extra lettuce, please. It's like, here's what I want, pay for it, and then you come back and you pick up your order. And we got an Italian sub, and dude, that was some bomb sandwich.
It like, was.
It's not my favorite food in the world, but I will say that I've been thinking about it a lot.
Oh yeah, sandwiches are like sandwiches are my thing. I love sandwiches so much, and we're not going to talk about sandwiches this whole time, I promise. But it was so good. Like, I obviously had never heard of it. And then when I kept on hearing, people here in Florida were talking about it a lot. You know, I just thought, oh, it's just a sandwich. Like, how great. It's good.
It's pretty
good.
Amazing. Yeah. I highly recommend. So yeah,
they've got
the
system
down. I more than recommend
down.
It. If you get a chance to be near a Wawa, yes, it's a gas, a gas station sandwich. Go get yourself some Wawa. And this whole story emphasizes our belief of you got to try new things.
Yeah.
You can't like just always go with what you love. You got to get out there and experience new things. And I think that's the motto that we live by, not only when we're traveling, but also when we're like at home and we're in the kitchen. And I think that there's so many benefits to trying new things. And I think the obvious one that comes from that story is you might find something that you love way more that you just had no idea about, you know?
Yeah, and I would say it goes obviously well beyond food.
It does.
This is definitely something like to our core philosophically, we almost need it. Maybe it's not even philosophically. It's like, seriously, I need novelty in my life.
Right.
I need change. I do find some comfort in, I love Chipotle. So mm-hmm. Chipotle, cool. You know, there's a sushi restaurant in our area that we love. So cool. But honestly, for the most part, you know, like when we go to the beach, we have our own little spot, but then mm-hmm. we want to actually go and explore different areas.
You
know,
do it.
You got to go all over the place. Now, I know this is kind of difficult. This is something that we haven't really talked about too much because obviously we have to all kind of like stay put. We've had to for the last year.
We haven't gone too many beaches in all honesty.
Yeah, well,
we've stuck in our little safety zone.
I'm sure a lot more people will be doing lots of different new stuff.
It's like travel.
After this.
Yes.
Because it's boring staying in the house all the time.
Yeah, well, I like to think so, but I also could see that a lot of people might, like, now they're kind of a little bit more comfortable with that too. So it could go either way.
Yeah.
But I do believe that as things are opening up, you should open up your mind and open up your heart to new opportunities that maybe seem quite uncomfortable. And yes, we did a Wawa sandwich. That was not an uncomfortable situation. But when we're talking about like the idea of perhaps traveling to a country that you're completely unfamiliar with and going out there and experiencing the culture in full, that could be a life-changing experience that you got to try out, you know? Yeah. You're trying new things. I think there's a lot of individuals who are used to kind of the cookie cutter type of travel where it's like, let's go on a cruise or let's go to Disney World. And I love cruises and I love Disney World too, but it's a different type of journey when you're actually pushing yourself a little bit harder to define what you believe is most interesting or where you can gain the most knowledge and the true experience of it. Because those like cookie cutter, like tours and stuff, it is nice and clean cut and it's like perfectly guided, but that you're supporting a business. If you just sometimes just go out into the streets of a new area and just walk around and get lost a little bit. I mean, like how often have people got lost?
I know. When was the last time you got lost? I think that's a really good question, honestly. Yeah. I mean, there are areas in this world where if you really wanted to get lost, you absolutely could. Right, like we have gotten lost so many times in these.
I was lost last year. I remember when we were walking in Thailand, dude, and we were in Bangkok and we were going down an alleyway. Do you remember this?
Oh yeah.
And we were going down this alleyway and it wasn't like a ghetto part, but it was definitely like shanty homes, like put together homes.
I didn't feel unsafe until.
Yeah. And then there was this dog. And the dog was so feisty. I don't know if it was the security dog and it was like a dead end. And I was like, this is what Google Maps said. No idea where to go. Luckily, the locals came out and like pushed the dog back. And then they took us into this little like hole in the fence. And then all of a sudden we were out of it.
Yeah, but we emerged into this like grass area. And then all of a sudden we were in the city. We were like, dude, Google Maps could have never given us that direction. So I love that though. I mean, to me, that's part of traveling. And I think what's interesting too is the more we've traveled, the more I realize how different our travel, patterns are relative to others. Yeah. I think we're good at planning, but then we really like actually not having everything planned. Yeah. We like to give it room for flexibility.
You have to.
And so there are some people who find that really frustrating, right? Who are like, well, I don't understand. Like, what are you going to do for this whole week?
Yeah.
Well,
where's our
we're
going to
find it. Yeah. I don't want to schedule. Like, what's the point of traveling if everything is scheduled? Like you're going to go back and you're gonna be like, okay, everything is scheduled here too. I mean, there are different worlds in this world in a way, you know, that you can immerse yourself into and let yourself go from who you are in your normal town. But a lot of people, it is scary and it's difficult if you haven't done it very much. But I would even say, you know, there are certain things, even our own country, you know, like look at your friends. Mm. What are their families? Where do they come from? Are they, you know, first generation immigrants? Mm. You know, like I watched, you know, this really funny guy, like Tio Choco on YouTube, and he has this hilarious video of like, you know, when we go to the, you and your cousins go to the quinceañera. Mm. And I thought about it. I'm like, I don't think I've ever been to a quinceañera. I would really love to go and experience that. Like, that's an amazing, cultural, beautiful thing that you don't have to travel to Mexico to get, because there are a ton of people who do that here.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
Question like, who do you choose to surround yourself with?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, who are your friends and like what can you learn from them if you just asked?
Yeah, so I think you're bringing up the point of like, so what is the additional benefit from trying new things beyond, oh, I might really like this? It's that those new things can kind of like reshape who you are for the better.
Yeah.
You know, would you say that's the best way of it? Those experiences that you're gaining from trying new things make you closer to like a well-rounded individual?
Yeah,
you know
I think that stereotypes and biases and whatnot come from a lack of experience with other things.
Yeah.
And so the more diverse your experience with, you know, different cultures, people with different backgrounds, ethnicities and whatnot, I mean, those biases go away pretty quickly because I mean, I'll never forget when we lived in Morocco, you know, I really didn't know very much about Marrakesh or Morocco or the culture or even the religion of Islam. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened my eyes. And all of a sudden I was like deep into learning about everything around me, just wanting to like, absolutely relative to what I had heard on the news since 9/11.
Yeah.
That was a it was mind-blowing and completely life-altering, yeah, living in Morocco and becoming friends with a lot of people who are Muslim,
yeah,
and learning about the Quran and learning about the teachings and all that stuff. I mean, that's not saying that I'm going to become that, but it was such a valuable, amazing thing for me to understand the beauty of that religion, that there's beauty in all of these different religions, right? And, you know, why can't we all really get along? And that there, I think that experiences change you, and yeah, mm-hmm, for the better, like you said, in terms of, maybe you won't necessarily, maybe if you tried sushi and you didn't like it, you might not go back, but hey, you tried it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that's the thing, is it, yeah, it teaches you what your where your comfort zone really is at. And if you can, yeah, keep on pushing that boundary of the comfort zone,
yeah,
that's kind of what it's all about.
Yeah. Made me like instantly when you're talking about like sushi and you don't like it, I was like, well, that didn't happen to me, but it did happen when we were in Morocco and I had some of that gnarly soup.
Oh my God.
That was like, yeah, a little bit of blood, a little bit of gray meats, and it was, you got to try it. Yeah. And I tried it, but that was my level of, like, okay, it ends here.
We're done with that, yeah.
So sometimes, I think you brought up another great point, sometimes trying new things is scary, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're going back to our brand, Life Out of the Box. Stepping out of your comfort zone is necessary for you to actually get to the further level that you want to be learning the most you possibly can,
yeah,
from experiencing new things. And this your story of Morocco actually reminded me, like, in a more closer to our current moment right now, when we were about to go to Pakistan. I mean, it was, yeah, like, it was probably just about a year ago we were scheduled to go, and boom, can't go anymore. But like, why? Why the heck did we want to? I mean, it was a great opportunity,
yeah,
and we were all about it. Thank you for, it was going to be through a federal grant, and we were super stoked on it through University of Oklahoma. Always appreciate you. But a lot of people were like, dude, I can't believe that you want to do that. And we were like, heck yeah, we want to do it.
Yeah.
But like, why?
Why? Well, yes. I think so. Yeah, this was through the program of CCW, and we have a whole podcast episode on that if you want to learn about it. But essentially, mm-hmm, it is a program where we have had the great opportunity to host young entrepreneurs from all around the world, mm-hmm, including Pakistan,
mm-hmm,
in Stillwater, Oklahoma. So we've had we've had two individuals who have actually stayed with us for weeks in, yeah, Stillwater, Oklahoma, from Pakistan.
Yep.
Okay, imagine how maybe scary that was for them.
Yeah, they were trying new things.
Okay, Oklahoma in the heart of this country, you know, it's very, mm-hmm, different from California and New York and Miami, okay, which is what everyone usually kind of thinks of if you've never been to the United States, yeah, of America, right? So
welcome to America, welcome to Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it.
Well, and when we moved to Oklahoma, we even had our reservations of how people would actually, you know, be there too.
It's true.
You know, in terms of acceptance and whatnot, which, you know, that went out the door too for
very
us.
Quickly.
But I think that is why we were comfortable. We had friends. We had, mm-hmm, learned about their culture. They had shared their culture inside of our country with, yeah, us. And we loved them. Like, yeah, it was a genuine friendship, and we spent a lot of time with them. And so, yeah, why can't we go and visit our friends?
Well, we knew that it was so much more than what the media portrays,
yeah,
it to be. And we wanted to kind of get down in the roots of it. Cause like, at the core of who we are as humans, I don't care where you're from, there, you got a human aspect of you. And I wanted to be able to have those kind of deep conversations and learn about your life and what it like. There's so much to learn, and
yeah,
I think it gives us the opportunity to not only be our ideal self, but really kind of make us more aware of new opportunities or new directions that we may want to go in to further grow and develop, to perhaps, like, I don't know, get close to achieve all of our dreams that we put together that are, yeah, very big, you know?
No, 100%. And I do think that we understood that there was risk going into Pakistan.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was like ready to buy some headscarves and learn how to really, you know, make that a daily thing that I wore, you know, after living in Morocco where I didn't, yeah, really understand that, knowing that now, you know,
yeah,
then
it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. So it was, there were risks associated with it, but at the same time, I don't know anyone in the United States who is my age who's been to Pakistan.
That's a good point.
Who
that's
is not really from cool Pakistan.
Point. Yeah.
And when
that
I say...
That makes you special.
Well, I mean, that...
If we did it, you know, it would make you one in a million.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you go to a dinner conversation back in America and you're like, what's the coolest place you've ever traveled? Or what's the weirdest, like craziest place you've ever traveled to? I mean, I'm not going to say Thailand.
No.
It'll probably be somewhere like Pakistan where it was like, you know, I mean, there are a lot of places in this world that I can't wait to travel to.
For sure.
And Pakistan is still one of them.
Yep.
You know, and so is, you know, Nepal and Kazakhstan. We're actually hosting someone right now from Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's
been...
Not
in physical form, in
virtual.
Virtual.
We're talking with her on Zoom.
She's not here
all the time.
Now.
Yeah. She's amazing. Her name's Dinara. And, you know, she is... Her English is really good, and I just want to learn as much as I can. I don't know anything about Kazakhstan. And
when I
type in stuff on Kazakhstan,
Borat.
It's like, there's like no real understanding of what Kazakhstan,
it's
you know.
Huge,
it's
huge, too.
Huge. It's amazing. And so I really hope that we get the opportunity to go visit her, too. So it's not just about pursuing novelty, necessarily, but I think that it is challenging yourself and your own biases and how you view the world.
Ooh,
if you view the world in one way, how can you challenge that to really help expand your mind?
I like that. That was actually well said. I really like that a lot. So the other angle that I'd like to approach this question of why it's important for us to try new things is business. When it comes to entrepreneurship or innovation, I mean, we've studied it enough and we've participated enough that to me it's like almost built within the terminology itself.
Yeah.
But why is it so important in business to be trying new things?
That's a great question.
I think it's an obvious answer.
Yeah.
Because like innovation requires new ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, it requires you to push the envelope, go for something different. And I think innovation is something that is necessary in all businesses.
Yeah.
Eventually, if you don't continue to innovate, what you will evaporate. Look at Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Why is it so stable for so long? It's not because they have the best recipe for this soda and that's all they do. They've evolved a lot. Think about how their distribution was when it was all bottles. Now they're in cans. Then they acquire new companies that further assist their current business model. So they're always typically different beverage products, whether it's water or flavored water or hydrating like Gatorade type beverages. They're always looking for something new. And they are a company that we will continue to see successful for the next 10, 20, 30 years if they continue to innovate and look for new opportunities. Same with McDonald's. Like, why is McDonald's so good? Now you go to McDonald's. Well, now we go to McDonald's. It's a little different. But let's go to 2019 and what 2021 will be. You'll go to McDonald's and the majority of people are ordering off the screen. Last time we were in McDonald's in 2019, we were always going screen first.
Kiosk,
and then you sit down. Or a phone. Shoot. I've been ordering chicken sandwiches from my phone.
That's where it is now. But I think, you know, the two companies that you actually just named, interestingly enough, because they're food items, food and drink items.
Oh my gosh. Am I obsessed?
Maybe, but that's okay.
My mom would say so.
But I think a couple things though with those. I do think Coca-Cola achieved the network effect in a way globally as globalization was happening.
Yeah,
so that
was
a big timing thing, right?
Right. Yep.
I think McDonald's, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Network effect of, whoa, we just expanded all over the country and now we're all over the world. And the other thing that those two do is that they tailor their menu and everything, their recipes to the local culture. Now that is a really hard thing to do.
We know that.
We know that. I mean, no, it takes so much research. It takes a lot of experimentation. And a lot of times this stuff flops, right?
Absolutely.
So to be able to be successful and actually, you know, there have been a lot of failures with both of those companies in different countries too, where they just couldn't take it over. Right.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think if a company like those who have achieved a network effect. The network effect is a powerful variable, I think, in terms of business. But that doesn't guarantee you're going to be around forever, especially if someone comes in and disrupts the whole game, right? And in that case, when someone comes in and disrupts and a company who has been around for a while is not innovating towards progress, it either has one of two options. Either it's going to lose its network effect and someone can take it over, right?
Yep.
Or it becomes... It starts to do some crony, you know.
Whoa, that's an interesting angle. I didn't expect that one.
Well, I do think that either they're scared and they have to, you know, basically engage in cronyism in some way for more power in a monopolistic sense. Mm. Like they have to say, okay, I have the power because I have the money and that therefore I don't have to innovate. It's like mm-hmm. you have to do something, you know, like if I do feel like business and industries, I mean, if you're not innovating towards progress and tailoring yeah, your products to the new cultures that are tastes that the next...
You're going to flop.
Yeah.
I think more often than not, that's what the likely outcome is if you don't choose to innovate. You know? Right.
Well, I mean...
If you innovate too late.
Well, let's take a different company, Facebook.
That's interesting. I was going to go cars. I like Facebook. Well, go for it.
No, like has Facebook really innovated or have they just acquired new companies?
They acquired new companies.
Or have they just copied designs of other companies?
They've acquired new companies for sure. So that is one way that they are innovating. Oculus, Rift, WhatsApp, and Instagram. And I do expect that they will continue to acquire new companies to ensure that they're staying, quote, cool. You know what I mean? But if we're saying, like, have they innovated when we're looking at just the Facebook application or the website itself? Yeah, I think it's inevitable that we can say, like, they've made a lot of changes over and over again. Now, have they been significant changes that it's like really like almost like something that you're like, oh, this is revolutionary? And the only example I can think of with like a social media platform that's really successfully made a major change that honestly took them to the next level would be Snapchat with the implementation of their stories.
Right.
But Facebook hasn't done anything close to that. Well, It did.
It disrupted. It basically like created the industry of social media and like showed. It was so long ago. But I mean, I think that type of revolutionary innovation doesn't come around very often. I think it's hard to expect a company to really do that. That's not to say that Facebook isn't innovating. Of course it is. And I think that it has a lot of potential to continue to innovate, especially with WhatsApp and a lot of other, and Oculus Rift. I think that, you know, virtual reality and AR is going to be all very cool and interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that obviously that's had some issues too that has made it have to focus on, you know, things other than innovation and progress. So, but you know, I think that what is really interesting about this whole this whole conversation is actually very interesting, but we've kind of gone way more towards businesses. But I think that what we're really trying to get at the core of is trying new things is a really good thing for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. So we said it's important. Like that's kind of what the original question was, like why it's important. Would you actually change it to why it's necessary? Because in certain aspects, it's not necessary, you know?
Right.
But in business, I would say it's necessary. And I would say that if you're trying to go after a really big dream, it's necessary. But if you don't really want to go after a big dream, then maybe it's just important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of it's a deep thought though. But I remember there's like one student that I had at Oklahoma State University, and he told me like, dude, I don't really want to leave the state. Like I have no interest in going to another state or going to Mexico. Like I don't need a passport. And he really meant it. Like, and I was like, what's your favorite food? And it was like steak and potatoes. Really nice guy, really smart guy too. But he knew what he loved. And he was like, I'm just going to stick in this realm because like, I already have everything that I need and want. Like I know I can get everything else that I want right here. And I respect that. And it made me realize that we don't always need to try new things necessarily to get to our ideal self. That's his ideal self. I understand it. But I would say in business, you kind of do. I mean, I cannot think of a single business that is exactly what it was and has survived 100 years. You look at like GM. GM is making a massive change. I mean, they were one of the biggest, they were the bee's knees of the car industry after World War II. And now they kind of had their ups and downs. I mean, they went bankrupt for a minute, and now they're coming back like really hard, saying by 2035, all their cars are going to be electric. I mean, talk about a revolutionary shift in innovating to perhaps survive, not to thrive, but to survive, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, even hearing about the recent news of Volkswagen wanting to rename their North American division Volkswagen, like, because they want to emphasize the electric vehicle promise that they basically established, that all of their vehicles will be electric. I mean, that's game changing. I mean, who's going to be creating combustion engine cars in 20 years? I mean, that's a good question. And what's that going to do to the oil industry? So I think that there's a lot of things where when change and disruption happens, people are caught with their pants down, but in a way they kind of knew it too, but they just didn't want to change. And there's a reason why they didn't want to change. Maybe they were fat and happy, just raking in the money, and then something happens and, oh, well, it's my time to go now, so someone else can figure that out. Yeah,
caught with your pants down, but maybe it's time for them to put on some new pants.
Yeah,
you know, right? we were in Oklahoma, thriving in oil. You know, that's their basis of, like, how a lot of those companies made it really big out of Oklahoma. Yeah. They're kind of shifting their whole brand into energy, which is, like, so much more broad.
Yeah.
But it's like wind, solar, like, it could be so many different things, and that helps them survive. If you're just oil, yeah, it's going to be around for a while, I believe. But, like, if you're looking at the shifts, like, who, it's cat, mouse, or chicken egg.
Yeah.
Which one's first? Well, if GM is going all electric, yeah, maybe one could argue, well, that's an opportunity for another car company to just do combustion.
Yeah.
But I actually think that we're going to see, if the big dogs are doing it, it's going to become more and more prominent. And then we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. It also has to do a lot to do with governmental regulations, too. Like, the EU is starting to impose some things, and I'm sure the
seems
US.
Seems like an inevitable future.
You know, I mean, if it's better for the Earth for all of us to survive as a species, I mean, why wouldn't you do it? Like, it's not, like, the whole construct of money is just actually fascinating to both of us, I think. But, I mean, really, what is necessary for survival? If you start really thinking about it in terms of that, it's not necessarily about who's going to be the top dog making the most money. You want to think about, like, what change can my company actually lead and do in terms of actually accelerating us towards innovation and technology that will actually help elongate our species on this planet. That's, you know, kind of a big deal. And so that's something I think we can all get behind. But I think, you know, kind of wrapping it all back around full circle of, like,
Wawa's.
I can't wait to go get the next Wawa sandwich, because, I mean, yeah, it was, they have so many different sandwiches I can't wait to try. And so, but I think that in terms of, you know, it could be, what we're trying to say is, like, we obviously went small with a sandwich at first, and now we're obviously talking about industries changing to global warming standards, right? So we've obviously gone the full spectrum. But I think that what we're trying to say really is that it could be as small as just a new sandwich spot, right? It could be as small as try something new, or go to, you know, your friend's quinceañera. You know, like, it could be as something as small as that, or as you know, kind of big, like going to a place like Pakistan or Morocco, or it could be, you know, changing an entire industry for the better.
Changing your business completely, like your 100-year business, to make some slight changes to ensure thrivability.
Well, adapt or die, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. I mean, I think we're kind of in that, like, we're in that catalyst moment of a lot of businesses. They're going to adapt or you're going to die. Not really sure how else it's going to work.
Yeah, so try new things. And also, by trying, like, new, like, things, just as simple as a sandwich, it probably makes it a lot easier when you have to make a really big change when it's necessary.
That's a good point. That's an interesting idea. Right? It also, I think it makes you a more interesting person anyways.
Hey, look how interesting you are.
My Wawa sandwich.
We're going to try a new Wawa sandwich.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend Spicy Italian when you go get your own.
Yeah.
But we're going to try a new one. We'll let you know what you like. Yeah. We're weird like that. We really appreciate you all for listening to us. We cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow. If you have a moment, feel free to subscribe, rate, and review us. And we hope you have a wonderful day.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.